Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone out there. How are you? This is August Crenshaw, your host of As a Kid Radio Show. Happy to be back in the studios, happy to engage with you all so that we can see what in the world is it that we're going to be challenged on today. You know, I was just sitting here thinking about how I'm about to give a topic out or talk about a topic that some people may say is a little controversial. Not that all my topics aren't, but let me just say something first. I had to grow in my walk with God. I remember that there would be occasions when I would hear a pastor preach one thing and then I hear him say something different. And in my mind, I thought that that man or that person was a hypocrite. You know, I used to look at him, and, you know, because I used to look at pastors and I used to be very hard on them because I had an expectation for them to be perfect. Now, I do believe that pastors should be held up to a higher standard, but I don't believe they should be held up to the standard of perfection. And something that no pastor ever did, which I say this a lot on the radio show, is that I have learned that when you say one thing to one situation and you say another thing to another situation, it is not that you're being hypocritical, but you are lending yourself to the Holy Spirit. Because, see, sometimes when we read the Word of God, I think that we are looking for a one-size-fits-all answer, and there aren't. And what works in situation A may not work in situation B, even though they may look like they're the same. But at the core of it, there's something that God knows that we don't. And I'm just saying that because today, you know, I'm always switching gears. We may talk about one topic, and then I'll talk about another. And the reason why I do that, I tell you all the time, is because I want people to have balance when it comes to studying and reading the Word of God. I don't want to compromise it. But I do want us to have balance. And I have talked a lot about discipline in the church. I have talked about dealing with people that offend you, judging situations. I've talked a lot about not being afraid to be forthcoming, not watering down the gospel, and just things of that nature. And today I'm taking a turn, and now I'm going to talk about not judging. And so I don't want you to feel like, oh, my God, she did all this talking about how I'm supposed to, you know, hold my brothers and sisters accountable and I shouldn't be afraid to speak up. Now she's getting ready to tell me not to judge. You know, what is August on? Trust me, it's not that I'm being hypocritical. I want you to hear the word and I want you to apply it to the right circumstance, because when I get through explaining everything that I'm going to explain, you're going to understand it's not a one-size-fits-all. So we just want to make sure that we're good stewards of the word, and we want to make sure that no matter what kind of situation comes up, we know how to use the word. So just once again, bear with me. I'm not about to be hypocritical. I'm not switching gears on you. It's just the point that we're going to look at the other side. So we've already looked at judgment. I'm going to repeat it again. We've already looked at judgment. We've already looked at what it looks like to hold our brothers and sisters accountable. We know that the Word of God says that we shall judge angels. So I'm not saying that we're completely eliminating judgment, but today we're going to talk about not judging. Now, for those of you that, like, follow me on Facebook, you saw that the title of the topic today was Does God Hear a Sinner's Prayer? And I'm going to get, you know me, I always got this little story to put in there. Let me explain where this question came from, because in this question, we're going to end up getting into marital relationships and relationships overall. So the bottom line is there's this woman that I've been, I don't want to say counseling because she's a friend of mine. I've been being there for her, and I've been through a divorce before, and she's in a situation where she's going through a divorce. And she called me because she wanted to get some advice, and she wasn't 100% upfront with her question. So the first thing we talked about was, does God hear a sinner's prayer? And then it got a little bit more specific into, does God hear the prayer of a person that's harsh? And then it kind of graduated into, does God hear the prayers of a husband when he's been harsh with his wife? You know, so these different, all of these are kind of intertwined with one another, though. So she calls me, like I said, and she's like, hey, you know, August, you know, if a person has a hard heart or, you know, they're not really listening to God, and if they pray, I just want to hear your spin on this. Does God hear their prayer? Now, I don't know about you guys, but instantaneously, if I didn't take the time to breathe, I would have said, no, he doesn't. And a lot of you listening may be saying, of course he doesn't. The only, what have we been, most of us in the church have been taught that the only prayer that God hears from a sinner is the prayer of repentance. Then she said, and I told her, I said, honestly, I don't believe that statement anymore, and I'm going to tell you why. And she said, well, let me ask you this before you answer. She's like, well, if you have a hardened heart to God, you know, he's not going to listen to you, and you're not going to be able to hear him, right? So that's the question that came to me. And so I figured that it was really good for me to share what I truly believe the Lord gave to me to give to her. Like I said, this is not a one-size-fits-all. But in her circumstance, my answer was as such. Now, let's stop right there and let's go back a little bit. Where did the concept even come from that the only prayer that God will hear from a sinner is the prayer of repentance? Well, I know one primary place that it came from is, remember when Jesus was on the cross. And remember at that point when he was like, Father, you know, he was calling out to God, and God was not there. And he was like, you know, God, why have you left me? And then the preachers have taught that the reason why God took his face from Jesus was because at that point he was carrying all the sins of the world. And God is holy, and he is righteous, and he cannot look upon sin. Now, amen me out there if you've been taught that. And when you think about that, it makes perfect sense. Okay, so, but here's my question. And think about this question. Is Jesus still on the cross? Is Jesus still on the cross, and is Jesus still bearing all of our sins on the cross? Because, see, the scriptures say that he came to take away the sins of the world. The scriptures say that our righteousness was received through the shedding of his blood. And so just understand, I'm making a case. I promise you I'm going to connect all the dots. But Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's already died. He's already took the keys from hell. He is the advocate on the throne next at the right hand of God, asking and pleading for our forgiveness so we don't get wiped out like nations did sometimes in the Old Testament, because he did die on the cross. So if Jesus came and did what he did, the question isn't whether or not God still loves us and can see us. The question is, can we see that God still loves us? And can we see that we have the ability to walk in the freedom and not be ensnared by sin? Can we see that we can grow and get stronger and stronger in this walk and be better human beings? But see, but here's the thing. No matter how good we get, here's my next question. While we are here, will we ever reach perfection? While we are here, will we ever reach perfection? Now, according to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that we shall not become perfect until he which is perfect returns. Which means, and my grandma, she used to tell me this all the time, baby, at the end of the day, we all sin. And that's the scriptures too. You know, we do all sin. We all make mistakes. So the question is, who becomes so righteous that we get to decide who's the better Christian or the worse Christian. Which state of mind is so depraved that God does hear versus doesn't hear? Who gets to make that decision? Because, see, a sister could be out there prostituting her butt off and praying to God, and you could be thinking God ain't hearing her. But maybe God ain't hearing you because, you know what? To whom much is given, much is required. See, that girl may not know as much about God, so her sin, even though she's still going to get in trouble for it, might not be as bad as your sin, and maybe your sin is just the way that you treat your spouse. But you know better because you'd have been to 15 million conferences about marriage and how you're supposed to act and respond. So, you know, the funny thing is that sometimes we get saved and we look at someone else's sin and we judge it, but we don't judge our own because we think we're righteous in our works. And he said, by works, that you can't please God. He says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. He said, no flesh or glory in his sight. So my thing is I want to make sure that when we're talking about judgment, I want us to not give people basically a complex before they even get saved. Because what's going to happen is if you start telling people who they are and who they are in God and whether he will and will not hear them based on their sin because they're a sinner, when they do get saved, when they do sin, the first thing they're going to do is turn their back on God. Think about what I'm saying. If you've already taught somebody before they get saved, I don't care what you've been saying to God, God ain't been hearing you, he don't want nothing to do with you. When they make a mistake and they sin, they're going to believe that God don't want nothing to do with them. And you and I both, you could say, but you could teach them to repent. But you and I both know that saying you sorry and asking for forgiveness, it doesn't always come that easy. For those of you that know the story about the Israelites, maybe not all of them, but know enough of them, let's take it back to God's chosen people in the Old Testament. The people in the Old Testament kept a hardened heart towards God. He performed miracles. He moved them out of Egypt. He literally split a sea in half, and they walked away, and he destroyed and killed their enemies. But because they didn't get what they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted, they were like, we would have been better off in Egypt. They cursed God. Every time Moses went to go get a word from God or spend some time with him, they was building calves. They were hardening their heart. They didn't want anything to do with God. But God would still always send Moses, Aaron, somebody, Joshua, to go back to them and say, look, fix it. You know, turn back to God. And you would say, okay, well, August, that wasn't God, that was a man. But let me make sure we draw the right conclusion. A long time ago, you needed a high priest. You needed someone to intervene for you and God. It was like that period. The God in the man had to speak to the people. So whether God is speaking to you audibly in your ears, whether he's coming to you in the manifestation of a dream, whether he's coming and giving you a prophetic word through a person, God still reaches out to sinners. We got this confused illusion that God has this thing where he's turning his back on the sinner, but that isn't what happens. Repeatedly, God got angry with the Israelites, and on several occasions he wanted to kill them. And Moses was like, ooh, God, don't do that. Let me remind you, these are your people. Don't kill them for people to say you took them out of Egypt just to slaughter them. A man of God intervened. And I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to talk about not being too self-righteous, read Ezra. Read Nehemiah. When these major prophets, holy men of God, saw the state of the Israelites, if you pay attention, when they prayed on behalf of the people, they never said, God, help those ignorant folks. Help those blasphemous folks. Help those sinners. Those men of God always included themselves. I promise you. go read some of those scriptures and read it when they prayed. They would say Ezra was rent in his spirit, and he prayed, and he was like, God, forgive us. He never took himself out of the equation. He kept himself in there. He was the one that was begging and pleading and standing in the gap for the people, but he did not disinclude himself. If you go and read Matthew chapter 7, so let's keep on connecting all of these dots with the whole, like, judgment thing. When you read chapter 7, it says, judge not so that you don't be judged, because the same measure with which you judge, you're going to get judged. Before you complain about the speck in your brother's eye, you need to get the log out of your eye. Then you can get the speck out of your brother's eye. So some of y'all might be saying, okay, well, August, you know, my thing is I used to do this and I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. So, you know, I've cleaned out my eye. So let me go help my brother and my sister out. Let me ask you a question. If you see a splinter in your brother's eye and a plank, a board, and God is telling you there's a board in your eye, if you were to take that board and to bash it and smash it into a bunch of pieces, how many splinters would there be? Think about that. You see a splinter in your brother's eye. There's a plank in your eye. A board. Take the board and break it up into a bunch of splinters. How many splinters would that be? In other words, don't get so self-righteous because maybe you don't fornicate anymore and you see the splinter of fornication in your brother's eye. Because in your eye, when you broke up the plank, you don't fornicate, but you're impatient, you're rude, you're angry, you cuss, you have unresolved issues in relationships that you have no intentions on fixing. You know, whatever it is, you stingy, you don't ever want to give. And the list can go on, and it's them little bitty things. It ain't them big, bold sins, you know, like you an alcoholic or a homosexual. It don't make no difference. There ain't no measuring. There's no measuring. The point is you got a host of problems over here. So what would the church look like if every time somebody turned around, they was like, I got to get myself together. I fixed problem A, now I'm working on B and C. I got B and C, now I'm on X, Y, Z. What would the church look like if we said, you know what, I'm going to stop judging the other individual and judge myself? Okay, so all of this and taking it back to the whole sin issue. Does God hear you pray even when you're a sinner? Let me tell you something. I know that there was a season in my life when it was awful. It was God awful. And there was a season in my life where I used to always go to my grandma for prayer. It was crazy. I think I talked about it on other episodes, how I didn't want anything to do with God. But whenever something crazy would happen, I would always go tell my grandma, pray for my brother, pray for this. It's crazy. And some people would say, well, see, but, you know, you had to go to somebody that was right with God in order for, you know, God to answer your prayers or do whatever he did. Okay. Well, you know what? At one point, at another point in my life, I wasn't even going to my grandma for prayer anymore. I had gotten to a point where I had gotten so angry and bitter that I took out that anger and bitterness on a relative, a brother of mine, my baby brother, someone I cared about, someone that used to live with me, that I basically took in like a son. And we literally, me, him, and his girlfriend, got into a fist fight. By the time this fight was over with, it ended out with some FUs and don't speak to me no more, so what, good, and we didn't. About 7-8 months later, he died in a car crash. And for the first time in my life, I'm giving you all a very condensed version of this story, but for the first time in my life, I actually had a conscience. I was like, oh, my God. Would I have said all of those things to him in that way and forsaken our relationship if I knew he was going to die anytime soon? And the answer was no. And so I began to have a different change in my heart. And nobody knew but me, but I would have conversations with God, you know, and I'd be like, man, this is messed up. I messed up, didn't I? You know, and the more that I opened up, as my heart became less like stone and more like flesh, God was dealing with me. he would send people to me to tell me to go to this church, or, you know, something would happen. I'd be like, wow, that's a miracle, or whatever. And I began to see God work on me. And remember, what did Jesus say? He said, those that are whole need not a physician. He said he came for the sick. Not for the righteous, but to call the sinner to repentance. Yes, he did. But the thing about it is that you don't go from sinner to saved. The majority of us go from sinner to consciousness to then getting saved. But in between all of that stuff, if you remember your walk and your season with God, you remember all of that stuff that's in the middle. You remember those opportunities when he had to check you, like he had to check the Israelites, and how he had to tell them, you know, what was the one scripture where they had, Lord have mercy, I may not be quoting this right, but for those of you that are good studiers, there was a time when the Israelites had messed up really bad, and they sinned against God, and they were getting bit by snakes, and they were all dying off. And what God ended up doing was building the snake, and for those that looked upon it, that they had to look upon their sin, God ended up forgiving them and reversing that thing. There's some kind of way. God knows the fiber of your being, and he knows who you are, and he knows how he needs to communicate with you. People, if you really knew my story, even after that happened with my brother, I was in the church, and I would not recognize Jesus as God. I couldn't. You know, when the Word of God says don't entertain strange doctrine, man, please, I studied with the Nubian Nation of Islam. Jesus was nothing but a man that walked the earth at some point who was actually a pretty cool guy that happened to be a prophet, but he was not God in the flesh. So I didn't accept it. I literally would pray in church, and it sounds bipolar. I'm driven to be at church, but while I'm sitting in church and when the pastor is saying in the name of Jesus, I'm saying, yes, God, in the name of Allah, you know, I'm saying something else completely different because I didn't even accept Jesus. But God was still talking to me, and I was still talking to him. And you know what I told God? I specifically told God, I am confused. I don't know what to believe. And I said, I know I'm analytical, and if you want me to serve you, God, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to show me who you are. I'm not reading this Bible. Men have written it. It's prone to have errors. I'm not stupid. And I've already read some scriptures that don't sound too right to me. You show me that you're God, and then I'll believe. I literally said those things to God. And what he did was a series of events began to occur in my life where I'm praying for people, and it's almost like I might as well have like been a robot. I remember praying for a woman on the street, and God showed me everything I need to pray for her about. She didn't tell me, and it freaked me out, and I had to call my grandma. I met this lady on the street, and I didn't know her, and I was praying for her safety and this man and blah, 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 blah. My grandma, cool as a cucumber. Oh, baby, well, you know the scriptures say when you entertain a stranger, you might entertain an angel and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the prayer, involuntarily, I said in the name of Jesus, and then months later, God let me see the woman and let me see that the prayer was answered. In my state of confusion, think about it. I want us to take some time to really, truly sit back and reflect and say, where are some places in my life where I've really been kind of deprived? I might have almost been a reprobate. And did God hear me? Did he listen to me? Did he speak to me? Now, to the other part of the woman that called me, you know, I did explain to her. I said, you know, when you are walking in sin, what you do make very difficult is to truly acknowledge God's voice. And you do make it difficult to pray prayers that are in alignment with his will, because if your heart is hardened to his word, you're not trusting it, you may not speak right. But when you decide to open up the doorway of communication with God, even when you're in the state of being a sinner, he is there and he is listening. Because what was Zacchaeus? See, when you look up the Hebrew word, when you look up sinner, it says people that sin and do these different things, but it also says, it says tax collector and heathen. What was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a sinner, but for some reason he had to climb up that sycamore tree and he had to get Jesus' attention. Now, whatever happened after Jesus went to his house, he ended up coming back saying, I'm not going to pay these people back. I'm going to pay them back extra. I'm going to fix this situation. So it's not the point of being saved and being whole that gets God's attention. Yes, God can hear you even as a sinner because Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus said, I do nothing of my own will. Everything I do is by the will of the Father. Everything I say, I'm speaking my Father's words. If you look at me, you see me. You see my daddy. So think about that. Don't look at Jesus as Jesus. Look at Jesus as God. And look at Zacchaeus in the tree. Zacchaeus, the sinner, the self-righteous tax collector, the cheat, the herder of people, wants to see Jesus. Did Jesus walk by and was like, I don't know what he's calling me for because that dude, he need to get his act together. No, Zacchaeus, come on down. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees called Jesus out all the time. Why? And that's when he told them, why are you worried about me being with sinners? They that are whole do not need a physician. So we've got to take our time. Read Romans 10. We always want to quote it. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, then ye shall be saved. But keep reading. As you go further down, the verses say that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they must believe. But how will they believe? They won't believe unless they have the preacher. And preacher doesn't necessarily just mean the man in the pulpit. So there's got to be some ability for God to communicate with man, even in his imperfect state. Because the blood that was shed by God was shed for all men. It was to give us an open doorway. It was to give us free access. So now, going forward some and transitioning to the other part of the conversation, it was the thing of, okay, I hear what you're saying, August, and about in reference to, you know, God and sin and prayer and hearing, et cetera, but what about the scripture that says, and this is in Peter, it's 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says that, you know, men are not supposed to be harsh with their wives, but they're supposed to honor them as a weaker vessel, otherwise their prayers would get hindered. Let me explain something to you. I'm not saying that there isn't any validity in that. And I'm not saying that if a man is out of order, that there are some things that God will not withhold from that individual. But to go to the degree of saying that he ain't going to hear him at all and he don't have nothing to say to him is a self-righteous mentality, and it is going over the top. Because here, let me explain something to you. The Bible says there's neither male nor female as far as approaching God is concerned. And I'm bringing that out because sometimes I think we get caught up on when it says he versus she, when it says wife versus husband, when it says son versus daughter. But see, when you read in Proverbs and it says, my son, be attentive to the words of your father, you can put daughter there. It could be listen to the mother. When you're talking about, you know, don't take the words of wisdom and bind, you need, no, take the words of wisdom and bind them about your neck, otherwise, you know, you'll hurt your mother's heart. Yeah, well, you also can hurt your father's heart. See, just because the scripture doesn't say wives don't be harsh to your husbands or you'll hinder your prayers, doesn't mean that it don't work both ways because you one flesh. Because, see, the scripture before that talks about how you are to be in subjection to your spouse and be like as Sarah was and call him Lord. So when you're not a suggestion to your spouse and you're not treating him like he's Lord because he is ahead of you, like Christ is the head of church and God is the head of him, then are you hindering your prayers? You understand what I'm saying? So the thing about it is I'm not saying that there isn't any truth to the scripture, but we got to be careful because it goes back to what I read in Matthew chapter 7. If you get too focused on the fact that, oh, he tripping, so God ain't hearing him, what's going to end up happening is that you ain't tripping off the fact that maybe God ain't hearing you. Oh, so don't worry about whether or not God is or isn't hearing that person, whether God is or isn't hindering those person's prayers. That may be the situation. But who are we to be able to rationalize what's the most important thing to God? Because I also had to remind this young lady, God then obviously said something because he is even more firmly in agreement with understanding that you all entered into a union that you weren't supposed to be in the first place. That was, and that's her own personal situation. I honestly know because I never met the man, and before our relationship was fresh and God gave me a word for this particular woman that she was not supposed to marry this guy. Somebody else's story and situation may be completely different. Now think about this. Let me flip the script. How many of us have been pressing towards the high calling of God, Lord, reaching for that mark, forgetting those things that are behind us, praying, reading our words, studying fasting, going to church faithfully, and we're not doing this just to do something out of routine. We want to go and be in church. We want to hear the word of God. But haven't you ever had those places in your life where you study and you reading, but you still feel like, God, where you at? Are you hearing me? Are my prayers any good? I mean, think about it. I've been in that place sometimes in the peak of my walk. And, you know, the only thing that I had to hold on to was the fact that I knew what the word said. Regardless of whether I got that emotion or that tingling sensation, whether or not a dream or a divine word came to me, I got all hype in my spirit when I heard my song. I just had to trust that God was there no matter what. So hearing versus not hearing God, him hearing us moving the way we want him to move, we got to be real careful. Because what ends up happening is we begin to judge people based off of the manifestation of things occurring. Who got the car? Who got the house? Who's moving up in ministry? Their ministry only had 5 people. Now it's got 500. You know, God must be doing this. God must be on their side. Remember the scriptures say in Psalms 37, it says, "Fret not over evildoers who seem to prosper." People be prospering up in the church all day long and they be complete ripoffs. You can't look at the outer appearance. That's why God judges the inner appearance of man. Now, where you can truly see whether or not God is with a person is if you get to see that behind closed doors moment. When ain't nobody else watching, is there still peace there? Even if it is only bread and bologna and a sandwich, are they happy like it's a steak? Because they don't care about a steak, but they just happy because they know that God is true to his word, and he said that he wouldn't lead a righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. He going to make sure that they ain't have to worry about what they was going to eat or what they was going to drink. See, when you know someone's going through something, but they still have the peace that passes all understanding, then you know that God is there, and you know that the connection is there. We can't look at what's happening to a person in order to begin to judge where and how God is moving. And here now, and on the marital side of things, let's look at some marriages. But let's look at Abraham. Now Abraham and Sarah had it going on, didn't they? But when they weren't in full agreement to trust God for the promise of their son, that seed. Abraham, he may be called the father of the faithful, but on many occasions, Abraham proved to be very faithless. Did he always deal with Sarah correctly? Did he not lie once but twice and say that she was her sister, even though God promised to cover them? Did he not put her in danger by his behavior? And Sarah may have agreed or may not have agreed. Could you see that? Be a woman. For real, for real. Let's be a woman. Because I'm a woman and I'm married. Sometimes my husband says some stuff. And I'll be like, dude, where you at? Where you coming from? Can you see Sarah sitting there saying, yo, sister, are you serious? Don't you trust God? I done came on this long journey with you. You wait a minute. Okay, it's one thing for me to say I'm your sister. Do you realize that this dude is going to take me and want me to lay in his bed? No. And can you see Abraham saying, I'm ahead, woman, you better do what I'm telling you to do. This is what's going to keep us alive. Fine, Abraham. And you know what? God ain't going to hear nothing else you're praying about. You keep on asking me to do this kind of stupid stuff. Can you see that? And you know, but you know what happened? In all of his erring, God was able to still bless. Well, think about later on when Sarah was like, you know what? Go give a handmaiden. Go have sex with her. Go make a baby. And then the funny looking comic goes, ha ha ha, na 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 na. I had a baby. You couldn't. And she had a baby, and it's like, you know what? Get out. Then God told her to come back, and Abraham told her, yeah, you coming back. Just do whatever Sarah tells you to do. Sarah didn't even want that woman in her presence, whether she was there to be a slave or not. Could you imagine the argument? Could you imagine what that state of the relationship looked like? What about Jacob? He worked for 7 years to marry Rachel, got Leah, and then he had to work for 7 more to get Rachel. The scriptures are very obvious that he loved the other woman better than the one that couldn't bear a child. He loved her more. That's who he wanted. He worked for 14 years in order to get her. So one of his wives had to have been treated harshly. See, harsh doesn't mean necessarily loud. We talked about this before. Harsh just means it hurts. So I can look at you and say, B, or I can be like, yo, B. It don't make a difference whether I call you the B-I-T, you know what word, whether I'm yelling it to the top of my lungs or I'm just looking you dead in your eyes and telling you that you are one. I can look at you and tell you you're a stupid buffoon and yell at you. I can look at you and say, you know, at the end of the day, you ain't going to never be nothing. Harsh does not mean loud. It does not mean over the top. It just means that it hurts. So could you imagine the hurt and the pain that stemmed from those relationships? But these were still deemed great men of God. Now, did they inhibit some things? Yeah, because I could go back and talk about some other stuff and some, you know, what may probably could have made their lives go a lot easier. So I'm not saying that the scriptures aren't true, that by being harsh to your spouse that you don't hinder your prayers. I'm just saying, our bottom line is what I'm saying through this whole thing is, let's stop worrying about the other individual. Don't get caught up in the residue, because then you won't worry about yourself and you'll end up picking apart somebody else when God wants to pick apart you, and not for the purposes of tearing you up, but for the purposes of building you up. You would be surprised what God ministers to and what he hears and who he hears. Matter of fact, thank you, Jesus. I just thought about this. And let's think about the children of Egypt. I mean, the Israelites when they were in Egypt. When God came to Moses and he told him, I want you to go back and get my people, what did he say? He said, I have heard my people's prayers. Now, they had been there for 400 years. Come on now, y'all. Let's use common sense. In 400 years, even though you try to hold on to your heritage and stuff like that, people have been born and died all, born and died all, born and died all, and you living in a culture where you are suppressed and are not allowed to be who you are. Your sons are getting slaughtered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you really have that close of a connection with God? You know, it's one of those things, just in case he is there, God, if you are there, we really would like to be free. Can you imagine that state of mind? Can you imagine that prayer? Can you see that? You don't really see people that's just falling out saying, oh, yes, I trust the Lord and I love him. There'll be a handful of them, you know, those matriarchs, the old seasoned ones that would still be holding on and putting it down. Or, I mean, but for like the African-American community that's listening to my radio show, those of you, how close are you to your African heritage? What do you know about your roots? Because every generation seems to get further and further and further away from it because we were suppressed. We were not allowed to express and to explore and to remember and to write down, and it wasn't taught. So, I mean, really think about that. But God told Moses, he said, I've heard my people's prayers. Go get them. My thing is if you get a chance to come across someone who is backslidden, completely unaware, just understand this. If you minister to them from a perspective of love, you will find yourself encouraging them to have communication with God, even if they aren't ready to say, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Some people take some grooming. They need to be loved on, and then they change. At one point, Jesus said, except you see these miracles, you wouldn't believe. And he didn't always mean that in a derogatory fashion. He knew that some of the people needed to see miracles in order to believe. He knew some of the people weren't going to believe even though they saw the miracles. God has a way of getting to everybody. Maybe they just got to see one more miracle. There's one more thing that just needs to occur in order for them to know. You know, come on now, we are men and women with children who have decided that they are old enough to make their own decisions, or you're going to have kids that are old enough to make their own decisions, and they're going to run away from everything you try to teach them. You don't want to be telling them that, oh, you know what, that's all right, you're going to have to come back to God. Yeah, until you come back and repent, you're going to keep on wandering out there. God ain't going to hear you, he ain't going to want nothing to do with you. No, that's not how you know, you want to be like, baby, you know what, I understand you're doing something. You're going through something. But, you know, some people sing about how they found God. I'm telling you right now, baby, you ain't got to find God. He in the same place. Just when you come back to him, you know, let him know. There's another scripture in Isaiah. In Isaiah 64, it's the same scripture that we read in Romans. I'm going to share this one. And I think I've said enough that I'm getting close to being confident with closing out. But when you read, there was a passage in which, what did it say? Oh, where it says there is none righteous, no, not one. That scripture that's in Romans chapter 3, it also is in Isaiah 64. And one of the things you always want to make sure you do is don't just read a verse. Read above and below. Read the chapter. Sometimes you need the chapter before and after. Just always be trying to completely connect all the dots. Yeah, sometimes it just is just that fraction of a scripture or that blurb. But I have found when we read all of the words, we get a clearer understanding. If you, matter of fact, if you go to Isaiah 64, I'm going to do that real quick. I've been mentioning scriptures, but I haven't personally went to any of them. But Isaiah 64, I think the reason why it's going to be so cool to me is how many of us have read that scripture where it says that we're the clay and you're the potter. A lot of times we read that scripture and we like it, don't we? And we be like, yeah, God's shaping me up. You know, he's changing me and he's doing all of this. But do you know what was said prior to that portion? Well, let's see. If you go to verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 64 and 6, it says, But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. And if a lot of us stop right there, we'd be like, see, that's what I'm talking about, though, August. Ain't nobody seeking God. Don't nobody want nothing to do with God. He done turned his face from us. But listen at verse 8. It says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. And all we are the work of your hands. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. You see that? It's like, okay, yeah, we jacked up. We messed up. But then Isaiah said, but hold up, you made us. We made in your image and your likeness. And if we trip somewhere, you know what? Get, come on. Don't forsake us. Shape us up, God. Fix us. Get us back right. So we read that potter and the clay all the time, you know, a couple passes and taking that out of there, and they minister on that. But what about before you were the clay? Before you just sat on there to let him mold you? You were a hot mess. We got to remember the word of God says that no man cometh unto the Father unless the Father draws them. So you know what? Some of the people you're dealing with, they may need to be drawn some more. I ain't lying. I mean, I'm not ignorant to the fact that some people are completely out of order. But you just keep praying for their soul, and you keep believing for God to do what he's going to do. And as a matter of fact, you ain't got to keep praying. You pray, you put it out there, and you leave it alone. Because it may be another 4 or 5 years before they get it together. But the bottom line is God is the one who does the drawing. We're not the ones who can save, and we're not the ones who have the right or the authority to say what he will and he won't save and what he will and he will not work with. We all, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Without the covering of the blood of Jesus, there is nothing that any of us have to bring to the table as far as God is concerned. So let's govern our hearts with love. Let's continue to operate in peace. And let's continue to stay hopeful for the people that we know who are not necessarily walking in step with the Lord, but believing. Like how one day, at one point in our lives, we weren't, but believing that eventually God is going to get a hold of them, they're going to cling back onto him, and that they'll be okay. In the meantime, in between time, let's get that plank out of our eye, and let's focus on us. So I don't know if there are any questions or comments. If there are, push the button 1 on your phone for those that are listening. If you're listening via the internet and you want to call in just for the purposes of asking a question, the telephone number is area code 347-838-9366. Once again, if you want to be a guest and call in and ask a question, the number is 347-838-9366. So always kind of pause. Sometimes it takes people a minute. I don't know if they're contemplating about asking a question or not. You know, I don't know if you're scared, you think somebody going to recognize your voice. I don't know. But it doesn't look like there's anybody that wants to make a comment today, and that's fine. Let me just go ahead and say that I thank everybody for tuning in. Some of the comments or questions you have, some of you have my number. You like to contact me directly. Some of you like to email me or Facebook me. Once again, it's August Crenshaw, AugustCrenshaw. No spaces, no periods or anything, at yahoo.com, or just type in that name and then look for the profile with the picture on it, and I will gladly accept your friend request, respond to your mail, et cetera. You know, but thank you all for listening. I just pray that this message was impacting enough for us all to just say, you know what, I want to be a better person, God, and I want to increase my heart and my love and know that you're going to, you know, continue to work on me and work on others. So God bless you all. Last update, not 100% for sure. I prefer to have a natural birth, but I may actually be getting a C-section. I know some of my listeners are like, girl, you sure everything. I do, though, because I don't want anybody to be like, oh, my God, what happened, in the event that something happens beyond my control. and a week is missed on the show, and you'd be like, oh, my gosh, she quit. No, I'm not. As it is stated right now at the end of the month on a Tuesday, I may be going in to actually get a C-section instead of actually going through a delivery. And if that's the case, I would be out of the hospital on time, and I would just come back on Monday and do my regular show as opposed to doing something pre-recorded or doing a back show. But we still don't know exactly how this is going to occur. So I am still petitioning for people. If there is a specific topic or a message that you want to hear again, reach out to me and let me know. So if I'm incapable of being on the air, that would be the show that I would play. Otherwise, I love you guys. Thank you always for being with me. Thank you for going through this journey with me where God is allowing us to challenge what we've been taught and to get a deeper relationship with Him as it pertains to us being a people, His people. And I will see you all next Monday at 9 o'clock, faithfully. All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye.